Good morning. How many of you had a great Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Me as well. I think I ate too much.
I had a problem this morning. This morning I got up. You know how you have your clothes all set up and everything ready to go? So I get it all set up and ready to go. I knew I ate a lot over the weekend, right? But I couldn't fit into my pants. And I was like, this is strange. I had this for a long time. I never had a problem fitting into it. So I looked to my loving wife. And she says, you ate too much. Always could count on her to tell me the truth. Amen. But guys, how about you? Did you have a great Thanksgiving so far? Guys, I just want to share with you today. I'm going to be brief, but I want to ask you a question. Think about it. I want to say, why is your thinking so important? Why is your thinking so important? Before I get into it, I just want to introduce you to my sister. She's visiting from the Baltimore church with my two nephews. All right. So we get to celebrate some time together, and she gets to make fun of me, but that's all good. All right, so why your thinking is so important. I know Sean had the theme of Romans 12, 1 and 2, which we're going to go into. But the first point I want you to make is, are you worthy? You see, a lot of times in this world, we got to ask ourselves, are we worthy? Because the world tells us we're not worthy. You know, this morning, I was asking myself that question. This morning, I got up, so I'm getting ready, and I had to handle one of my kids. Okay. I was combing his hair, and he didn't want me to comb his hair. So after discipline and whatever, my daughter comes in. She said, Dad, are you preaching this morning? After that, you preaching? I had to say, no, I'm worthy. But isn't it real? It's at those times when you're just about to do something, something comes up in front of you. But Saray, wherever you at, I'm worthy. Daddy's worthy, sweetie. But I wanted to share something with you. We're going to go to David first. You know, King David was a great king, right? We hear so many great things about him. There's some. Next slide. I'm going to share this about him. It says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified it concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Listen, let's focus on the last part. A man after his own heart, right? He said, King David, right? So he noticed King David, and he said, after Saul, this is going to be my king. This is the guy that's going to do everything I told him. But let me tell you something about King David. We're going to go to the scripture in a minute. King David, one day on top of his roof, when it says the soldiers are out to battle, he was relaxing on the roof. He sees this beautiful woman, and he goes and asks about her. After he asks about her, he goes and he sleeps with her, right? So he gets a pregnant one. Then he finds out she's pregnant. Then says, okay, let me bring her husband Uri back so he can be with her, so I can act like it's his child. Remember, this is a man after God's own heart. After that all happened, it didn't work out for him. He said, hey, all right, I'm going to send a note. Take this back to Joab on the field. He takes a note back to his commander on the field and says, hey, take him out to where the battle is most fierce. Put him in the front. When it gets really hard, pull back. Does it? The guy dies. So he got another man's wife pregnant, right? Two, he tries to make him sleep with her, right? And he didn't want to take responsibility even for the child. It was his kid. And then finally he had him killed. This is a man after God's own heart. So the question is, if he did that, are you worthy? Wow. Are we worthy? Wow. You see, God doesn't use great people. He uses shameful people and does great things with them. But you know what was special? Why he was a man after God's own heart? Because he was humble. He had humility. When you look through the Psalms, it's most who? King David. Right? Because he cries out to God. All right, let's go for it. Mm-hmm. In 2 Samuel 11, this is just to verify the point, all right? 14 to 15. It says, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uri. In it, he wrote, put Uri out in the front where the fight is fierce. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die. Listen, the story is simply, God can use you no matter what. You just got to be willing to change. It's humility God is searching for. This is a man after God's own heart. And look, he tried to hide it. He tried to hide everything. But today, we're talking about it because it got exposed.
Yeah.
Right? But that's a man. I want you to look to the person to the left. Matter of fact, stand up because it's cold, right? Stand up. Stand up. Look to that person left, right. Give him a hug if you can and say you're worthy. All right, it wasn't meant to be that long. That's right. You are worthy. You are worthy. It's true. You see. Right. You are worthy. It is so true. You know, I think about when I, before I became a Christian, and I think about myself, how I was in the world as a young man and how I was acting, part of gangs and doing crazy things. The one thing in my mind, I never thought I was worthy. Never. People was like, what's wrong with him? Why does he act that way? Because I was so angry because I felt I never measured up. So I had to respond with anger. You see, sometimes that's what happens when you feel you're not worthy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until someone came to me and brought God before me that I am worthy. Uh-huh. And it's not because I'm this great person. It's because God is great.
That's right.
Amen? So let's go to our next point.
Come on,
belief without conviction is dead. You see, I want to show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you to 2 pit stops, and we're going to get to our destination.
Come on.
Okay? So belief without conviction is deadly. And I'm going to share with you why. As the slide, before we get into it, how many of you heard about the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt?
Yeah.
All right, before we go into the scripture, I want to share something about that. These Israelites, they cried out for 400 years. And they wanted to be freed from slavery. God heard their cries and raises up Moses. Moses leads them out. Let me just share with you some of the things these Israelites saw. One, they saw the parting of the Red Sea. These guys ate for free. Did you know that? They ate for free.
Yeah.
Let me share the point with you. They were direct recipients of God's benefit program. Direct recipients. Listen, think about it. They got free manna, free bread. It all was free. And hold on a second. It was organic.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't organic. It was organic plus. Right? It all came from heaven.
Right.
Think about this for a second. They have this thing now called farm to table, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't farm. It was from heaven to table. They had everything. Let's go to the scripture and I'll show you. Belief. Here's the definition of belief right here, my God. An accepting that a statement is true or that something exists. Follow me for a second. The next one is conviction. Conviction, an unshakable belief in something without need for proof or evidence. I want to stop there. See, you could have belief without existence. I mean, belief without conviction, and nothing will happen. You need belief plus conviction put together is equals faith. You see, they believe, these Israelites, as you see, they believe because they saw everything, but they couldn't couple it with conviction. Let's move forward. Here we go. In James 2:19, here's what the Bible says. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that, but what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? You see, in the Message version, it's so eloquent. I love the way it says it. It says that's good. Even the demons believe. But it has to be more than belief. You have to couple it with faith. Okay? Go ahead and move on to that. Now we're going to go to Exodus 16, verse 4. Now again, like I mentioned before, these are the Israelites. Remember, they were taken out of slavery. God freed them. He promised them something. But let's read this. Exodus 16 and verse 4, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. Is that not a miracle? Bread from heaven, that was a miracle. Let's go to verse 13 real quick. It says, that evening, because the reason why we're going to 13, because the people were complaining about the bread. It wasn't good enough for them. They kept, every moment, they kept going back to Moses and asking, why did you take us out of here? Why? Why didn't you leave us back home into slavery? But this is, in verse 13, it says, that evening, quail came down and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. So again, two miracles. The point I want to make here, all the miracles happened, but it couldn't make them believe with conviction. You see, God took the slavery out of them. No, he didn't take the slavery out of them. God took them out of slavery, but he couldn't take the slavery out of them. You see, God will change your circumstances, all that, but he can't change your mind. That's our responsibility. We have free will. You're responsible. I'm responsible from changing my mind. You see, the reason this is the one God, in the Bible, you see two things. You'll see the warning and you'll see examples. This is clearly the warning, right? The warning was here is the belief they had. They saw it, but they didn't have it with conviction, and it didn't equal faith, right? More about these folks, when you think about them, they saw all these miracles, and they kept going, telling Moses why. They kept looking back. They kept saying, why did you take us out of Egypt? We could have stayed there. They were freed. But I want to show you, belief without conviction and how deadly it is. Where did it take them? Go to the next slide, please. It says here in Joshua 5, verse 6, it says the Israelites had moved about in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died. Since they had not obeyed the Lord, for the Lord had sworn to them that he would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, reason why I shared Joshua 5, verse 6, it says they moved about the wilderness for 40 years until they died out there. Their lack of faith, and they ended up dying in the desert. But hey, God still provided for them. They still got the God benefits program, right? They still got it, but they didn't get the promise. They didn't get the promise for one simple reason. They didn't couple take belief, and they didn't take conviction, put it together so it could equal faith. You see, you can't have one yet. You have to have both. Go ahead. You can turn to the next screen. Deuteronomy 1, verse 2. You see, as we talked about it, they were 40 years in the desert. But I wanted to show you how long it would have, if they had the faith, if they had that confidence, how long it actually would have took them to make it to their destination. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 2, this is the Amplified version, it says, it is only 11 days' journey from Horeb, Mount Sinai, by the way of Mount Seir, to Kadesh Barnea on Canaan's border. Yet Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before crossing the border and entering into Canaan, the promised land. Wow. But remember something, it wasn't them, it was the next generation. 40 years, all those people, remember the last scripture? It says all of them died in the desert. All of them, except two, Joshua and Caleb. Think about it. Think about the damage a lack of belief and conviction can do to a person. You see, think about it. Think about somebody that's, you know, I know for me, when I was studying the Bible, one of the things was the challenge, believe, is it going to work? Will it work? I know the type of person I am. Can I do this? But it wasn't until I took the steps and I saw that it actually started to work. Yeah. Oh, I got something I want to tell you. When I was young, I had a belief about something, but I didn't have a conviction about something. Now, here's what happened. I used to always drive my car, and my dad used to tell me, my sister Tess, put on your seatbelt. Put on your seatbelt. I was like, you see, I'm putting on my seatbelt. So I used to drive around with no seatbelt. I used to get stopped by cops. Stop, I get a ticket, I go to the court and fight it. Okay. And I used to win. So this one particular time, I went to the courthouse. I lost. But then also, I'm driving home. Then, whoop, whoop. Stopped me. The same cop that gave me the ticket showed up. How are you, Mr. Wilson? License and registration? Gave me the ticket again. I was so upset, banging on the steel. Why? And it just ran through my mind, just stop. But after paying the ticket, guess what? I got a conviction. So then I had the belief with the conviction, never did it again. Right? And guess what? As I was a disciple. Listen, I'm just sharing my sin. I'm just being honest. It was years ago. I was working through it. But when you have belief, you think about anything in your life. When you have belief with conviction, you see what happens. Think about when you met your spouse, when you had a relationship, or if you became a disciple. You had belief and you had to have conviction coupled with it so you can take action. If there's any area in your life where you feel you're weak or you feel it's not going right, ask yourself this question. Do I have belief with conviction or not? You probably believe, I believe a lot of things, but I can tell you I don't have a lot of conviction about it. Right? I told myself before the holidays, I'm just going to have a little bit of food. I'm going to stick to some vegetables and meats. That'll keep me good. Man, I ate everything. See, I believed it was the right thing to do, but I didn't have the convictions with it. The pressure was too strong. But it's the power, guys. Trust me. Believe with convictions. This is the warning here. Look at this. That whole group didn't have an opportunity to give what God promised them. God can do everything for us, but he can't change our minds. That's our job. We got to make the decision. If you're studying the Bible and you're thinking about it, no one can help you. That's your choice. Look at the facts that are in front of you. You couple that belief, gather your conviction, couple it together, and then it'll equal faith. You'll start taking steps. Amen? All right, let's move forward. All right. This is one of my favorite guys here. You know, I loved him because he was a great trash talker, and I love to talk trash. Muhammad Ali, it says, it's the repetition of affirmations that lead to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. Amen, right? True? Guys, this is not in the Bible, though, so I want you to look for Muhammad Ali in the Bible. No. It's just something I felt that was good to help you guys. It's like, look, I love it. I'm going to say it again. Repetition of affirmations. What do those affirmations come from? Through the Word of God. The Word of God, affirmation that leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. Amen? Amen. All right. Remember I was talking about two rest stops, and I'm going to take you home. Come on. All right? Let's go ahead. We must change our minds. Again, we must change our minds. You know, I was thinking about something. I mean, everybody here has a computer, right? Yeah. We all have software. Yeah. We all need that update every once in a while on the software. Yeah. But the thing about changing your mind, we also have a menu. A lot of us been into what? Nobody goes to McDonald's here. I know you're better than me, right? When you go to McDonald's, they have the same thing on the menu all the time. Doesn't change, right? You see, the mind works the same way. How you handle things or things of that nature, it's the same mental menu. In order for something radical to change, you got to change the way you think, and it's not easy, right? So we must change our minds. I'm going to show you the recipe for how you change your mind. Next scripture. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, I love this scripture. It says, because I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. It's like he was pleading with them. It says, offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing and good. Then it says, this is your true and proper act of worship. And it urges us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right. You see, I'm going to share, but look at this. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You see, those Israelites wasn't able to test and approve what God's will is because they couldn't believe with conviction. You know, I was thinking about it. When I think about belief with conviction, I think about transforming your mind. There's something that I do. Like when I'm driving on the way to work, one of the things I do is I put on an audio Bible, you know, and I drive there. I try to use it. That's just like my cave. Yeah. Because that's that free time, 30, 45 minutes where I could get something in. And I think about it. All right, I listen to it. Then when I get to work, I jot down a few notes that I got from it. Every single day. So by the end of the week, I don't have to say, oh, man, I got to get into work. Because I did a little bit every day. So we don't. I'm realizing what I can do with just a little bit every day. What's that saying? By the yard is hard, by inch is a cinch. We got to do a little bit every day. If you can do a lot, that's fine. But you'll constantly see how your mind will be transformed. In my house, every year we do this vision board. We put this vision board. So every year we build this vision board, and we would put it sometimes in the basement. We put the vision board in the basement, and maybe 30 or 40% of the goals we put on this vision board will probably be, you know, we'll probably get it done. This time we had a different scenario. This is my wife's idea. She said, why don't we put it in the bathroom? I said, in the bathroom? That's where everybody goes. Exactly. Everybody has to stop in the bathroom for one reason or the other, right? So we put it up in the bathroom on there early in the year. And you know what? I looked at the board, and over 80% of the things on the board were accomplished. Amazing, right? But here's the point. The point is, you got to do the same thing with the word. You got to constantly remind yourself. Put it everywhere. Do whatever you can to transform your mind. You'll read me, because you know, when we had it up there, every day when I go in there for whatever reason, I'm reminded, oh, I said I was going to do that. And I'll take actions to that goal. So you have to transform, in order to transform your mind, you have to constantly be in the word to transform your mind. Now, this is the destination. The point I want to make, in order to get to the destination, once you start renewing your mind and transforming your mind, then you would know you're worthy. Yes. Then you would believe with conviction. Yes. And you know, to wrap it up, that's what Jesus did for us. He died for us on the cross, he resurrected, and he changed our lives. And we could be transformed through him. Then we know that even though we don't measure it up, he measured up everything. He took care of everything for us so we could have this opportunity today. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your word and how it moves our heart and transforms it. Help us to believe with conviction. Help us to do whatever it takes to renew our minds. We thank you for the body that was broken as well as the blood that was shed. And as we reflect back, help it to let us lead changed lives forever. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.